You're listening to SBS News.
Wendy Gutteridge moved to Australia from England in 2015 and never wanted to leave. The 45-year-old worked as a prosecutor for the RSPCA in Victoria and became an Australian citizen last year. But as the state and country she called home closed their borders in response to COVID-19, for her, it began to feel like a prison.
I really felt quite isolated. It was pretty difficult. I wonder what the effect on people's mental health will be in the long term, and whether or not people will think twice about, moving to another country, immigrating to Australia on a permanent basis if you're going to be a prisoner there. That's how it felt. It started to feel like, I was trapped.
The international travel ban meant it was impossible to visit her widowed mother in England, forcing the now Australian citizen to give up on her dream down under.
At the time I came back at the end of January, the UK had over 70,000 new cases every day, over 1,000 deaths every day. Which just shows how strong the pull is to see your family.
She says the government's handling of the travel ban cast a shadow on her experience in Australia, and despite having citizenship, she can't see herself rushing back anytime soon.
I would have sung Australia's praises to everybody and said, this is a great place to live, the government are great. And it was so disappointing because it made me think, perhaps they're not. And there's just been no recognition for people who are desperate to see their families. And, they keep putting the dates back and back and back.
Brittany Lee has also struggled with the separation from her family in the US after moving to Perth with her Australian husband 5 years ago.
It hasn't been good at all, honestly. This last year has probably been one of the hardest on my mental health. Not knowing when I would see them.
She works in the disability sector and her husband is a diesel engineer in the mines. Within 2 weeks, the couple plans to move to California, blaming Australia's strict conditions on arrivals and departures.
I see this as very long term, especially after this last year and seeing, how Australia has handled the border restrictions and all that.
For Annalise Cavan, not being able to see family in Canada after having her first child last year has weighed heavily on her.
It was incredibly, incredibly difficult. I had some very serious health issues when Max was first born, and not being able to have family that we had intended on having around was almost impossible.
She's a freelance screenwriter and her husband, Daniel Cavan, is a consultant in the legal technology industry. The couple has been living on the Gold Coast since March 2017, but they're also now considering saying goodbye to Australia.
The borders aren't going to be open at least until mid-2022. I feel like we can't wait that long and would be looking at moving over to Canada at the end of this year or the start of next year. We decided to move to Australia because we thought it would be the best place to raise a family. But if we're not able to see family and if we're not able to travel in and out to be reunited every now and then with family, then it really loses its value as a place to raise a family.
Since March last year, more than 150,000 Australian citizens and permanent residents were given exemptions to leave the country, according to the Australian Border Force. In April, there were more than 65,000 departures from Australia, the highest monthly figure since the pandemic began, according to the Australian Bureau of Statistics. Among those leaving are long-term skilled migrants, which the Grattan Institute's Brendan Coates says Australia can't afford to lose.
If you are getting migrants that are leaving and they're taking valuable skills with them, it will be harder to replace some of those skills in the short term. The borders do remain effectively closed, and therefore if they have a valuable skill and we can't replenish it easily, either through migration or through training that can take some time, That's a skill that we won't have in the Australian economy for a period.
For now, getting the 40,000 Australians still stranded overseas back into the country remains a federal government priority, but the pressure is growing to do something to support those with relatives overseas. The 2016 census found nearly half of all Australians were either born overseas or had at least one parent who was born overseas. Carla Wilshire, CEO of the Migration Council of Australia, says change is needed urgently.
Family reunion is going to have to be a priority. We're going to have to look at family stream, particularly in circumstances where there are vulnerabilities within a family or care obligations. The reality of modern migration is that it is very fluid. And that when you move overseas, there is an expectation that you're going to be able to see family again periodically, often more than once a year, often three or four times a year. And so the idea of a prolonged period without family is a significant weight in terms of the migration settlement experience.
A petition with more than 70,000 signatures will be presented to Federal Parliament by Greens Senator Nick McKim in a fortnight, calling on the government to allow exemptions for parents to enter Australia.
Now that we're 15 months into a global pandemic with no end in sight, it's really urgent that the government review all of its border control arrangements to make sure that they don't continue to discriminate against Australian citizens.
Otherwise, migrants say they will continue to turn their backs on Australia. Catalina Flores, SBS News.